first, a quick shout out to Yuan Turpin for the great music that you just heard right there. That was a clip from Tycho Knott's Love off of his Rhythm and Beats album. You can find the information for his music down below. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the newest episode of the PlayStation University podcast, known as the Home Room. I'm your host and your dean, David Jagno. And we've got someone with us here that has not been on the show before. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Daniel Name, a.k.a. DJ El Toro. Should I say anything else to introduce myself?
No, I think that covers it pretty well.
Cool.
Yeah, he's written a few things on the side already. He's going to head up the Rec Center, where all of the competitive gaming-focused stuff's going to be at. He's reviewed a game. He's talked about Injustice a little bit, so... You know, he's got some stuff on there, so you can look him up. And Charles is not with us. He is, you know, instead practicing the hoes before bros mantra. He is on vacation, so you can be mad at him when he gets back.
And, as always, yes? I am Chocolate Thunder the Boy Wonder, and I'd like to sunder your down unders.
Wait, you want to do what to my down unders?
I want to sunder them.
Don't touch my down unders, man. That's gross.
Dude, it's all natural. There's nothing bad.
Not for you to sunder my down unders, man. You could sunder David's or something, but
speaking of sundering down unders and being all natural, I think we've got a special lady we're gonna talk about later. But we'll save that. First, we can talk about what games we've been playing. Keep everyone updated on our personal lives since they care so much about them. And for me, it's been DJ Max Technica Tune. You can see that review up on the site. It's a pretty cool tap-based rhythm game. A lot of K-pop and techno and dubstep music. It's interesting. It's very fun. It's pretty catchy. I liked it. Been playing the God of War Ascension beta. We'll be talking about that in more detail later. But I've got some videos of that up on the site. And you'll be able to see impressions as well. From Mr. Chocolate Thunder here.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, I've been playing The Walking Dead. Still trying to work my way to 100% finish that game. Really liking it so far, though. It's really good. And PlayStation All-Stars. I've been playing that off and on. Still really fun. And that pretty much covers it.
Go for it, DJ El Toro.
I haven't been playing as much. I've just been playing a little bit of Mortal Kombat, as usual. I'm still playing that competitively, played in tournament, not this weekend, but the weekend before that, and got fourth place, which is cool. I've been playing Big Sky. I wrote a review for that, or Big Sky Infinity specifically, because that is part of the Big Sky series. Big Sky Infinity is really good. I've been enjoying that a lot. I currently hold like 2 or 3 world records on it. On and off, I play Dead or Alive 5, just for fun, really, though. I mean, that it's not really a good game, but I enjoy it, so. I mean, you laugh. I'm not joking at all. It's one of the worst games I've ever played, but I enjoy it a lot.
I have a lot of games like that, don't worry.
Yeah. What else? I think I've been backseat. Does that count? Backseat gaming at all?
I don't even know what that means.
Anything counts, man.
Like my roommate Josh has been playing Star Fox 64.
Nice.
And I've been telling him like where the switches in the train level are to shoot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we did that for like an hour, but we can never hit the 8th switch for some reason because we can't find it. I don't know. It's really weird.
Well, speaking of that, I've been helping my nephew play through the first Uncharted game.
Yeah.
It's been pretty fun. I always love playing those.
I still need to get to those. I haven't played any of them at all.
I'll have to let you borrow them. I have all three.
Sweet. And otherwise, I've been playing a couple racing games on the N64. Super Mario, Mario Kart 64 and Diddy Kong Racing. But I'm not going to play Mario Kart 64 anymore because it's been messing up my Diddy Kong Racing. My times in Diddy Kong Racing are also world competitive, but But since I picked up the Japanese copy of Mario Kart 64 specifically, my Diddy Kong Racing has suffered terribly.
There you go. That's what ahead, you get for trying to play multiple racing games.
Okay. Yeah. Are you done, man, or you want to
go? Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Chocolate.
Okay. I've been a sadomasochist this week. I've been playing, the Under Defeat game. It was a shooter as well. You can check out the review on the site. It was terrible. And other than that, I've just been playing a lot of Dark Souls. And unlike DJ El Toro, I'm not world competitive at anything, so I just keep dying over and over again, and people keep laughing at me, and then I die some more. So, I mean, I've been just literally playing like 12 to 13 hour stints of this game at a time. So, besides from those two, I also did some of the beta. As you said, my impression will be up a little later. I had a lot of fun with that. It was everything I expected. You can read more of that on the site a little later. But other than that, that's pretty much all I've been doing. I think we can probably move on now.
Yeah, speaking of being terrible at games, if you watch any of the footage I've recorded for God of War Ascension, and if you saw the stream, you will know that I am probably one of the worst people in the world at that game.
Dude, that was so funny. You watching you die to a guy with no health that you snuck up on.
I know. Oh, I know. That was great. So ridiculous. I died so fast. I don't know what happened. The last game, I actually did kind of well. I broke even at least. I got second, so I was proud of that.
There was one arena where they could tell you were the weak link, and I just think they started ganging up on you.
Yeah, the first one. It was bad. Yeah. Anyways, we're not going to talk about that anymore. And so both of you mentioned the reviews that you've written. I'm guessing you haven't played each other's games, though. So, Daniel, you haven't played Under Defeat, and Colton, you haven't played Big Sky.
I haven't played it. I've seen gameplay, though.
All right. So, I mean, the shoot 'em up genre is kind of – it used to mostly be in the arcade, and it's kind of died off. I mean, so what do you think these two games have in common, and what are the main differences that make Under Defeat kind of crappy and Big Sky really good?
I've only seen a couple seconds of gameplay from Under Defeat, but it seems like you can only shoot in three directions, like including two diagonals, right? Big Sky is cool because you have you use your right like joystick on the controller to precision aim, which is really neat.
Also, yeah, so it's a dual stick shooter then, right?
Right. You can also use the D-pad to direct, which I don't know. It has its benefits and drawbacks, but I don't know. I use the joystick, which is weird because I don't use the joystick for any other games. Otherwise, Big Sky is the greatest game I've ever played in my life.
That's so sad, dude. You're embarrassing.
Dude, come on.
Right,
Big Sky is so good. If you play it for 5 minutes, you'll be like, dude, this game is so much fun. Or you don't even need 5 minutes. Just okay, you need 10 seconds.
I might play it for 5 minutes. That's true.
Dude, you need 10 seconds to start the game, go all the way to the right and turn off the narrator, and then play for 30 seconds. You'll be like, this game is amazing.
Amazing,
it's,
maybe.
It's a good shoot 'em up.
It's really, dude.
You need to diversify your game.
Check this out. So when you start playing the game, it starts at a very basic level, right? Because you literally just started playing the game. The more you play it, the more it learns how you play and it adapts to how you play. And I mean, so,
it's,
like,
isn't that like cool every feature, video game ever?
But
like,
there isn't.
Really no, easy, dude.
And then Colt, it goes harder.
Dude, games. Most games that you play have like preset AI that like are already set, right? This game will actually, like, for example, you start classic mode, for example, right? Which I'm the world record holder in. I like saying that, by the way. And so the first time you start it, there's only the orange guys that are really weak, right? But now when I start it, like the first guys that appear are like either bosses or they're like large motherships that are annoying.
I've played the game. Like, I haven't played as much as you, but I just want to go on record and say that it's not the greatest game ever made.
Dude.
I mean, it's a good game. Don't get me wrong. It's fun. It's, you know, very, very colorful, fun to look at, good music. It's addicting. But as far as, like, from a point of view of, like, developing a game, it is not the greatest game.
Okay, yeah,
game
that's
ever
that's
made.
True. That's true.
I mean, it's fun. Like, for what it is, it's nearly perfect.
Yeah.
But objectively speaking, it is not the greatest game ever made.
Fair enough. But
I think you're right, though. Like, for what it is, it's basically perfect. It couldn't be any better, really.
Yeah. Or I think it could in just that the bosses need to be more difficult. And that's it. That's my only real complaint of the game other than the obnoxious narrator.
Yeah. And it seems like there's a little bit of, like, the gameplay modes don't seem very diversified.
Yeah.
So that'd be kind of cool, maybe. But, I mean, you can't really do much with that genre anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if Big Baddie does anything else with it. I'll play their sequels. Like, I'll play whatever sequel comes out for Big Sky. It's fun.
And so, what about you, Colton? Is Under Defeat the best game you've ever played?
No, not at all. First of all, I don't think any shoot 'em up game will ever be the best game I've ever played. Second of all, I didn't like it at all. A lot of people, I've seen other people's reviews and stuff, you know, because every time I review something, I like to check how other people thought of it. A lot of people thought it was great for what it was, and they, you know, had a lot of nostalgia for it. Personally, I hadn't played it on the Sega, you know, thing. I didn't play it way back then, so I wasn't, you know, like a fan from the start. And I would kind of agree with Nami's, or DJ El Toro, analysis of it when he said that, you know, the shooting was very limited. Unlike, you know, the Infinity game, it's instead where it's kind of its gimmick was, you know, its interesting looks and stuff like that, and its adaptive difficulty. This was very old school for a game. It starts off, you know, about the same difficulty and just progresses through that. It's very hard. They want, you know, to work through it, and they have to do that because it's a very short game. I didn't like that. The bullet combinations seemed pretty unfair when they were shooting at you. The visuals were rather bland. I just hated it. From what I've seen about Infinity, it was the exact opposite. The visuals were beautiful. It was very colorful. And I didn't have to, like, betray America to play Infinity. Where in Under Defeat, you're literally you're a Nazi chick bent on destroying America. So,
is she at least a hot Nazi chick?
No, and that's the thing, too, is, like, damn. If you're going to pick a Nazi chick, why would you have a Nazi chick with, like, A cups?
Damn.
Why would you do that? You need at least C cups. At least C cups if you're going to take on America.
See, the biggest thing for me is, like, what you said, that Under Defeat, each time you start that game, you're going to be treated to the same kind of boring military base levels that you're going to have to play through. And, you know, all the bullets look the same. All the enemies look the same. And then if you go play a game like Big Sky Infinity, where the game is literally different every time you play it, it's, you know, it's almost like no comparison between the two. So,
yeah. And not only is it just different, like, Big Sky will also randomize levels while, like, in the middle of a level, because there's, like, these black holes. And depending on how far you get through a black hole, you get a different random level. Like, it's cool.
That's
I can gush
cool.
about that game forever.
One game I would recommend you check out is Beat Hazard. That's what it's called.
Beat Hazard.
I think it's on PS3. I know it's on PC because that's where I have it. It's a shoot 'em up, but it doesn't scroll. It's like Asteroids, where you're stationary and you just move around the arena, and it's also randomized. But the reason, the way it's randomized is based on the music that you listen to.
Dude.
So it adapts to your music. So if you played like a slow song, then the enemies would be really slow. Your firepower and your weapons would be slow. Then if you listen to like a heavy metal song or something like that, the game's a lot more fast paced. And it changes based on, like, mid song, it'll go up and down and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Dude.
Yeah, I definitely recommend you check that one out.
I also recommend you just check out games in general, man.
Man.
It's okay. I'll let you borrow some Uncharted and Infamous and stuff. I think you like those.
Dude, Colton, most of my gaming is either competitive or in arcades, so
Well, that's cool. Most of my games involve like RPGs or dying. So.
But yeah.
All right. So next topic is, I wanted to just kind of touch on this Connecticut shooting that happened. You know, it was a very big tragedy, and I feel bad for everyone involved. But also at the same time, I do kind of hate the media, which is, you know, not new. Just, it seems like news coverage of events like this, they always try to blame people that shouldn't be blamed instead of just paying respect to what happened. And this is another instance where that happened, and a lot of news outlets such as Fox, ABC, all the big places, you know, ignorant people in society are blaming video games for the shooter because apparently he liked to play video games. And therefore, since he liked to play video games, that must mean that they made him violent. And there's a lot of places that are pretty much saying this exact thing. You know, they're saying, well, he played a lot of violent video games and he's 20 years old, so he has an impressionable mind and he must have got violent based on playing games. And we actually talked about this not too long ago, and Colton wrote an article on this very topic before this happened. And so I think, you know, if you haven't read that, I'm going to link it down below. And I think that people should just take responsibility for themselves and not blame stuff that isn't really the cause. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, first of all, I would like to talk about the news and their treatment of this dude. First of all, when they first reported who it was, they got it wrong. And a lot of the news outlets who were saying this guy liked games and stuff are still wrong. It was actually a very sad tale. This guy saw his face on the news and said that he killed all these people and all this other stuff, when in fact it was actually his brother. And he had to learn that his brother had killed all these people and then killed himself.
Wow.
From being accused that it was him. And when what happened is, people, since this guy who was accused and whose brother really did it, people went, who were his friends, went on his Facebook, since it was a private setting, took pictures of it and then sent it to news outlets for money. So his friends were shitty, first of all. Second of all, they didn't do very good journalism, and when they checked his Facebook, they saw that he liked games like Mass Effect. Mass Effect had already had a lot of problems with Fox News. Fox News, you know, had been critical of
the sex
in it and stuff in it like that. So they hounded, you know, jumped on this, you know, to blame somebody, anybody for this. Now, blaming people who play games for, like, as, you know, as being games as being a cause for violence is just stupid. I mean, we don't, people die from like cigarettes and alcohol, but we don't necessarily blame like the alcohol for everybody else who is able to enjoy it like peacefully and without problems. I think it shows a big point of our society when there's somebody can be crazy, like mentally insane, and have been showing signs of mental insanity. And instead of blaming mental illness and thinking that we really need to focus on that, instead we just immediately hound on any video games or media that we can, so we don't have to face like the dark truth that sometimes people can be evil or insane. So I think that it's not just people taking accountability, it's people, you know, learning that sometimes things don't really have sane or rational causes. It can just be like a mental illness. And I think that accountability really needs to go on the news for them, you know, putting out such fallacious stories.
I agree.
Yeah, very well said. I agree with that 100%. And I think that, like you said, people don't want to think that it's possible for something to not have a rational explanation. You know, and that's just, I guess, part of our society, that people want to believe that there's an explanation for everything. But sometimes, like you said, people have mental illness. Sometimes people are just bad people and they do bad things. And you can't always just relate that to something as simple as, well, they played Grand Theft Auto once, therefore they must have been influenced by that. So, I mean, it's not going to go away. This is going to be happening over and over. And people are always going to blame stuff that isn't really the cause. But hopefully, you know, someone hears this podcast and they think twice, maybe. So, I don't know. Next topic is something a little bit more lighthearted here. That's, we're going to go back to something we referenced earlier about being all natural. And I think that a lot of people, whenever they read comic books and they watch, you know, animes or play video games, They get attracted to some of those sexy, scantily clad women they see on the pages and TV screens. But I don't know how many people really think practically about what it would entail to be with those women or those men. For example, you know, I'm pretty sure that if any girl out there tried to have sex with Goku, he would literally split them in half.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he can control his power level?
Maybe. Maybe.
See, yeah, I mean, that's completely true. He is able to, you know, to control his ki and stuff. Maybe, if, like, if you're talking about Superman, Superman would definitely, like, blow a load through Lois Lane. He would.
That is so true. Yeah, that's true. And I think you actually wrote something on this very topic, but it was about a certain female instead of a male.
Yeah, and I guess maybe to be gender, you know, neutral, I should do a male next time. But anyway... Yes, I have been. I did write an article about Poison Ivy. All over the internet, people think that she's, you know, the bee's knees, and they want to have sex with her because they love her. But I did think that that would be a terrible idea for several reasons. You can see in the article. I guess I can list their basicness here. First of all, you know, she is a plant lady, so she can't, you know, bathe very well. She smells probably pretty bad.
Dude, that ain't true.
Okay, yeah, you know what? Okay. Let's be serious here, man.
Plants, they need water thrown on top of them and stuff. Like, clearly she bathes, right? Well,
Bathes with what? Please tell me. Please tell me what she bathes with. Please tell me what chemical would not harm her. Have you ever tried to wash a flower with
water, dude? Look.
Water?
When do plants sweat the same sweat that humans do, man?
Since they fight Batman for like...
Dude, get out of here, man. Look, Poison Ivy is biochemically more plant than human.
Partially human. I can show you right now several scans where she sweats. She totally sweats, dude. Anybody who's like...
She would only sweat water. She doesn't sweat the like salinated, toxinated water that humans sweat.
Right. She has absolutely no.
Yeah, she has no negative odor that comes off of sweat.
Can you prove that in any way?
Dude, yes. Come on.
Please go for it. Tell me where it says, oh, her sweat only contains pure.
All right, here. I'll send you an article. Give me 10 minutes.
I'm not going to give you 10 minutes. You're in the middle of a podcast.
Dude.
Move on to another reason why. Besides her BO there or not there.
Colton?
Oh, okay. Fine. I'll move on. First of all, she's batshit insane.
Okay.
She loves plants, and she will kill you.
Dude, I love plants too. What's your point?
You don't love plants. You like plants.
Dude, get out of here. I treated a plant as my daughter for like 2 years.
How many times have you had sexual intercourse with a tree?
I've tried.
That makes you a very sad person. But it has.
All right. Okay. That's not true. But still. All right, I haven't actually tried that, but still, okay. If the tree looked like Poison Ivy and was able to control their biological like form enough to like be in a human form like Poison Ivy, and was slightly less insane than Poison Ivy, I'd get with it.
But that's the whole point, though, is that she's insane and she.
Okay, yeah, okay, I'll agree that that's plants. That's a
so
problem.
Unless you sprout some roots. Big thick ones for her to love on.
Dude, I got a big thick something for
you. You're gonna edit my thing out? That's messed up. But anyway, I mean, other than that, she just kills men for fun. She wears toxic lipstick.
Dude,
she controls people's men.
Get out of here.
What she does. Have you read the new 52? She kills people for fun. That's what she does. The new 52, DC 52. They just released like a whole thing about her.
No, I just missed that. All right, well, if she kills guys for fun, well, that's another drawback. All right, I could overlook that. Go on.
Okay. She doesn't shave at all.
She doesn't need to. She's a plant.
She's a person.
She doesn't grow hair, dude.
She doesn't grow hair. What the hell is on the top of her head?
Dude, okay, she...
Please, no. What the hell is on the top of her head?
All right, she has hair, but she biochemically controls where the hair grows.
Where does it ever say that?
Dude, all right, let
You're
me find
this. You're just making stuff up like, ooh, she's a plant.
Dude, get out of here, dude. I'm telling
get out
you.
of here. I'm in a podcast.
Dude, all right. Then explain to me why she like has transferred from looking more green to looking more like an actual human being as of late. Obviously, she has gained control.
Because it's a comic book and people draw her like that?
Yeah, okay. Then it's a comic book and people draw her like having biochemical control of her appearance, dude.
Okay, let's just move on. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a difference of opinion, it seems.
Well, you see, one of us is right, and the other one's just like talking out his
butt. I mean,
butt.
This topic is one of those things where it's impossible to know for sure one way or the other. Like, if the things Daniel say are correct and she can control all that stuff, then, you know, obviously there's, like, no drawback hardly. But if you're right and she can't, then that's kind of weird. So.
Or, I mean, yeah, I mean, it could just be, you know, like a funny article talking about funny stuff. Jeez.
No, it can't.
Yeah, oh, wait. Okay, well, I have one more thing on the issue real quick. On the she doesn't shave thing, yeah. she like, trims her plants and stuff. There's no, you've seen it in the,
so
in the animated
you would say
series.
She trims her hedges, is that what you're saying?
That's likely. If she trims the actual plants that she takes care of, it's likely she also trims her hedges.
I think that's fair.
That's fair. It's not like I was trying to, you know, to make fun of hippies or anything. Totally being serious, that entire article.
Dude, I'm
fine
with
you. You're always serious.
I totally wouldn't have sex with her, even if it meant I would die or anything.
Yeah, dude, you wouldn't. You're being
I wouldn't. Dude, okay, hold up. You wouldn't die either. Okay, about the kiss of death thing, in the movie, the rubber lips, dude, come on.
Okay, first of all, if you're going to talk about stupid movies,
dude,
then we have nothing to talk about.
That movie
those
was
were terrible.
Awesome. Arnold Schwarzenegger's
You were dumb.
Dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger's ice puns.
You were so dumb. That movie was terrible.
Dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger's ice puns make up for all of it.
It's funny bad, but it's bad.
Yeah.
The thing is that if she will kill you, I don't care. She fight Batman. I would hardly have sex with Batman just because he's Batman. So I would definitely have sex with some chick who fights Batman and is his arch villainous or something. So, sure.
I wouldn't have sex with Batman. That's all you.
Well, you're missing out.
Yeah. Anyways.
You hear that, Batman? I'm all yours. Daniel Nami's off the sex list.
All right.
So what was our next topic?
So next topic, let's move on to The Last of Us, which I'm pretty sure we talk about every single episode. And we're probably going to talk about it every episode until it comes out and after it comes out.
And then in retrospective, many years later.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be awesome and amazing. But recently they unveiled a whole lot of new details, like, you know, they had a new story-based trailer. They had some information about pre-order bonuses. They just recently revealed a new character with behind-the-scenes footage. A whole bunch of new stuff. But one of the things that they sort of, you know, hinted at and just kind of mentioned in passing, which is a pretty massive feature, is the fact that there's going to be multiplayer. They didn't come out and even announce it formally. They were just like, oh, hey, if you pre-order a GameStop, you get these multiplayer skins. And people are like, wait, what? There's multiplayer? And then they're saying, oh, yeah, we'll talk about it more later. So that's how they revealed that there's multiplayer. I'm not really sure how I feel about that. They've stated that, you know, separate teams are working on the single player and multiplayer and that it's not going to affect the single player portion of the game's quality, which, I mean, is probably true, but at the same time, those people working on multiplayer could be working on single player. So I think there is going to be a little bit of resource diversion. I don't know. I mean, Uncharted multiplayer was fun. It worked. It was functional. It worked fine. I didn't play it a whole lot after I finished the single player. I kind of just put the game on the shelf and I keep it in my collection. So, I mean, I'm not really sure how long lasting this multiplayer for Last of Us is going to be. It seems like the gameplay is very similar to Uncharted, just kind of a different tone and setting. So maybe it's going to be kind of like a mixture of Assassin's Creed and Uncharted and Metal Gear kind of multiplayer. Kind of more stealthy, I guess. I don't know. What are you thinking, Colton, about how the multiplayer is going to work?
First of all, I think it's weird that almost every game nowadays has to have a multiplayer.
I agree.
I don't get it. I mean, I can understand, you know, a developer wants to have something that gives their game a little bit more longevity, but to be fair, I don't think that the multiplayer is going to outlast people really just liking the game and playing it for fun unless they do a poor job with it, especially with all the great things and the great team they have working on it. I'm kind of interested in how they're going to do multiplayer as well. We don't really know too much about like the pure mechanics of the game and everything else like that, so it's really hard to speculate. I think that you're probably right on how they will do the multiplayer, but we could be completely wrong, and it could be, you know, objective-based or something else like that. We don't know if it's going to be, you know, like a horde mode where you would fight against other people, you know, for points, or if you're going to be teaming up with other people against monsters and other things like that. So I'm really interested to see how it shakes up, but I agree with you. I don't think that it's going to be a selling point for the series. And, I mean, it's just icing on the cake for what I think.
Yeah, now that you mentioned how multiplayer is going to work, here's an idea. Here's a suggestion for you, Naughty Dog, if you're listening right now.
As they always are.
They should.
Yeah, they listen to me all the time. That they should do kind of an asynchronous multiplayer mode. So there would be kind of two different teams. You know, one set of team could be the people that are like the bandits and the survivors in the wasteland or whatever, or the creatures and the mutations, whatever. And then the other set could be a team that is trying to pass through an area. Because I know one of the themes of the game is that the main character is a transporter. Basically, he moves stuff across the wasteland. So I think maybe the goal could be one team has to move like some type of good or person or product across to get to another point, and then the other team has to try to prevent them.
Now that you bring up what they said about the story, I would definitely expect to not play like one of the the main characters, but play like a transporter. That makes a lot of sense now that you brought it up. Maybe, you know, it'll be cool and it'll give us a little bit more detailed look into like what the main character was doing before all this happened.
So. Yeah. Yeah. There's the details are a little scarce. I know that that is the gist of the story though, that Joel is someone that gets paid to transport stuff. And the whole premise of the game is that I think one of your friends or something like that was on his deathbed and requested that you transport this girl for him. I don't know what the relation is per se, but I know that's the general gist of the story, and the game's kind of about how their relationship grows over time.
They better make it so that it's an object that you're transporting if they do that for multiplayer, though.
Oh, yeah, AI? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, making a – or make it a person who is controlled. Maybe you have to control a person who's controlled, and they'll have abilities. But even if they do that, that's just something that never works out, and people aren't going to really want to play.
Yeah, so those transport missions in any game are always horrible.
I mean, now that you mention that, though, did you play the multiplayer in GTA 4, the cops and robbers mode?
Yeah, that was awesome. And
it's kind of similar to that, is what I'm thinking. I mean, it wouldn't be a crime-based city, but, you know, like, there would be one person that's, like, the target part of the robbers, and they have to transport from one place to another. And it's player-controlled, so it's not an AI person.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
I don't know.
They could do that, or they could just make it, like, one competitive match where, you know, you've all been hired to, like, get the same thing, and you have to basically find something and then transport it to a certain area, and it's a free-for-all. I mean, they could do that as well. Until we hear more, hopefully, I mean, it's all speculation. I really hope that we get the opportunity to beta test it, and I hope it whatever they do choose to do, they do test it pretty
I'm sure
extensively
they will,
to make sure.
Yeah, they did beta for Uncharted 2 and 3, so I figure they will. All right, yeah, so I guess we're just going to have to wait and see how that turns out. Actually, speaking of beta testing multiplayer modes in a franchise that's usually single player, God of War, that beta recently started. And we talked about that a little bit earlier, about how awesome I am at it. And I know you've played it a little bit, Colton. I played it some too. It's better than I expected. That's what I'll say. I was very skeptical because I didn't really understand how a hack and slash single player game was going to have a multiplayer mode.
Really?
But I don't know. I mean, usually multiplayer for action games like that, I don't really enjoy that much because it just seems like it's you're just spamming, and it's kind of what it is, but
it
turned out to be a lot more fun than I expected, honestly.
Well, I mean, I actually thought, you know, the whole system would translate very well with the combos, the parries, the evades. You know, it sets it up for a good system where player versus player I've always thought would be very epic. And I'll agree that I don't think that it, you know, it captures the epic feel of the series itself in the multiplayer. I do think it does some few things that I didn't expect, like the different equipment you can have, the different weapons you can have, the different magic and stuff like that. There's a lot of customization in it, which is something I really didn't expect. And I'm very happy about that. I think that it's a very, you know, a step in the right direction. You're going to have all these different gods to choose from. You're going to have all these weapons to choose from. The problem I have with it is basically that you play catch up. Like you were saying that you were bad at it. I don't know if it's necessarily that you're bad at it, but that armor and stuff that you get as you unlock it, and weapons and magic and stuff is greatly more powerful than like what you start out.
That is very, very true. I noticed because whenever I was doing the stream, the last match I got, the guy that got first had this ability where he could just turn into a ball of fire. And then he had like the Blades of Chaos from the actual God of War games and was just whipping them all over the place. And it would last for a few seconds and he was just doing massive amounts of damage.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe DJ El Toro, since he is a competitive gamer, can correct me on this, but I always thought, like, the crux of competitive gaming was balance and fairness. I just don't think that you're going to... Having a game where people who played it longer have such a heavy advantage, and that when you start, you're going to die over and over again, makes a very unfriendly atmosphere. It makes it so people are not as willing to go through this constant set of dying just to be, you know, at average.
Yeah, to me, that's not so much a competitive issue, because in competitive games, they would have everybody playing either with everything unlocked or with nothing unlocked.
Yeah.
Right? That's more of just a fun issue, right? Because, like, then, oh, yeah, what's the point of playing 10 hours just to unlock the okay weapons, right? Like, that's just not fun.
Yeah.
It also seems like the magic's not balanced at all. Like, I think that the Ares magic is infinitely more powerful than the Zeus. And so I think a lot of balancing for that's going to happen, or you're just going to have everybody playing the same stuck class using the same weapons and stuff like that. It seemed like they tried to avoid that by having a mixture of stats on it. But they're really – because this is the first time this team has ever really had to balance something for multiplayer. And so I think that they're going to have to take a lot – it's going to take a lot of work for it to be – you know, game ready, but they have time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, the beta's going to be really helpful because they'll, you know, that's what beta's for, to see what needs to be balanced and that kind of stuff. So hopefully it gets figured out a little bit more before release, because, I mean, it could be pretty cool. It has potential. I mean, it's a lot more fun than I thought it would be. Like you said, it doesn't feel quite as epic as the game. And part of that's just because, you know, you're not Kratos. You're just like a Spartan dude or something.
You're some bald guy.
Yeah, everyone kind of looks the same. So hopefully they fix that
bald?
Too. Yeah.
There's massive customization, but everybody looks the same. That's fine.
You're a bald hunk of muscle. That's all you are. You're bald muscle, dude.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
And what's weird is that you're incredibly more muscle than Kratos himself. And he's like insanely powerful. He's like ripping the heads off of gods and stuff. So, I don't know. Hopefully the reason that we haven't seen like more player customization is like it's so early in the beta.
I assume so. I don't know how they can make a game like this and not let you tweak your skin tone at least or something.
Or at least make it so like when you get different gods or armor, like relics and stuff. Have you unlocked any relics yet?
No, I haven't. I think I've unlocked some, but I haven't actually purchased any or anything.
I'm just saying, like, at least give some war paint or something, you know, something you can do, just something.
Yeah, or, like, maybe you can make some type of logo to put on your armor or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I don't know, I think that's a bit too much. Like, I personally don't like too much customization, just because I think that, that makes it so that you spend so much time customizing a character that you don't actually play the game as much.
Yeah, but it's optional. Wait.
Yeah, see, you're one of the people I hate, dude. You're one of the people who's like, oh no, extra content that I don't have to do.
No. I'm not saying that. In general, like, customization is great. But when it's customization that it's like, oh, design the detail of the and the shape of this part of the logo that you're putting on this part of his arm, and then on this other part of his arm, you can give him this other tattoo. No, dude, come on.
You wouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, you could just choose not to do that and just choose to school people with your skills. Some people like to have like interesting or unique looking characters. There's no reason to exclude them just because you don't like it.
No, I mean, I like to have interesting or unique characters, but like in that case, then just give me an option of like, I don't know, 4 or 5 characters.
They probably will. Like you'll have, yeah. There'll be different layers. You know, you can pick a preset character or randomize the settings, or you can go more in depth and design the intricate details. I don't know why having both options is a bad thing.
And I don't know of any game where you had to like just do all of like, you know, the tweaking yourself. Almost every time there's a randomized setting, and a lot of people who are like you who are more about just like playing the game and mastering it, they always pick, you know, just random or whatever. So I mean, aesthetics go a long way in, at least for, I know I'm not very good at competitive gaming, but it seems like in every competitive gaming like sphere that isn't like fighting games, like a lot of RPGs or MMOs, the like in order to keep everything balanced, the stats are the same, but you change the aesthetics because you want to look good. And so I think that the aesthetics are actually a decent reward to unlock. Halo does that, you know, God of War does, I mean, Call of Duty does that and stuff like that. It keeps things from being unbalanced while still giving you like something to look forward to and unlocking.
Yeah, Uncharted did it really well too. You could customize your banner. There were all different types of clothing you could get, different like taunts and victory poses and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't really think it's... I see where you're coming from, though. Like, if you feel like it's pushed too much and it feels like it's too in your face and it feels like you have to do it, then, yeah, that's probably a problem. But if they make it easy for you to just randomize or pick a pre-made character, then I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm sort of fine with random. But, like, I just don't... Because, yeah, I do like a balance, you know? I don't want... and not in terms of, like... I don't honestly, Colton, I don't even care about balancing games. Like if one character is better than another, so be it. I'll learn to deal with it.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I'll explain that later. Or another day or something, or on chat.
Okay. It just seems weird because like if you would want I would assume that like in a perfect world you would always want everything to be, you know, equal. Nah. So everybody had, you know, equal skill and stuff, but well, whatever.
It depends. Like for example, I play Mortal Kombat competitively. It's semi unbalanced, right? There's good and bad characters, like very obviously tournament unviable characters and characters that have won more tournaments than anybody else. But at the same time, there's characters that have just different tool sets that make them viable in certain situations. That's more important. In terms of actually like the character design, I'd be fine with just presets so long as they look interesting. But if all the presets are boring so that you customize it and there's no randomized feature, then like that's what I would hate the most.
But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing is that like right now we have just boring. So
right, exactly.
If it's a choose between just boring and then having like extra stuff that you can make you look good.
Well, what about the difference between just boring and having to spend 5 hours making this character in order for them to look okay, and no randomized feature?
I've never heard of a game that doesn't have random option.
Yeah, like, there's literally no game that's like every game that you can create a character either has a set of default characters, like a couple that you can pick from, or random.
Usually,
I don't think that your problem that you're talking about really will ever exist, especially not in this.
I've never seen random. I've seen like characters that already look sort of like Oblivion didn't have a random feature.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
You had
a random feature right above the age feature, actually, and the complexion feature. You can pick random on the face. Mm-hmm.
Well then.
Yeah. 600 hours and I know one thing about it.
And with that, I think that's a good spot to close. But Colton is terrible at games, even the one that he plays for lifetime.
Yeah.
All right. So I hope everyone enjoyed this episode of The Homeroom. And please come back every week because we post a new episode every Monday. And go ahead and leave your comments below about any topics you want us to cover on the next episodes, on what you think about Poison Ivy, on what you think about Last of Us multiplayer, all that good stuff. And yeah, so thanks for listening, and bye.